Okay, well, Christos was Christ. Christ is risen. Now that both calendars are aligning, I can say that as one. So welcome to everyone on this beautiful, beautiful spring day. I call the meeting to order, and we'll begin by acknowledging that we are on Treaty 6 territory, our traditional territories of our First Nations, which include the Cree, the Dene, Nakota, Lakota, Dakota, Soto, and homeland of the Métis Nation. We pay our respect to the First Nation Métis ancestors of this place, and we reaffirm our relationship with one another in the spirit of reconciliation. We'll call upon Trustee Beckler to lead us in our opening prayer.
In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this hour asking for your blessing and help as we are gathered together. We pray for guidance in the matters at hand and ask that you would clearly show us how to conduct our work with the spirit of joy and enthusiasm. Give us the desire to find ways to excel in our work. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Trustee Beckler. Trustees, you had the opportunity on Thursday when you received your board package to go through the package and see what the agenda was like. So I will require an adoption of the agenda at this time.
Thank you,
Trustee Carrier, and Trustee Burscheid is seconding that motion. I will call for a negative vote. That motion is carried. I'll ask now if there's any declaration of conflict of interest in any of our agenda items. Hearing none, we'll proceed to the approval of the minutes of the April 19th, 2021 regular meeting of the board. If someone would like to move, if they feel that everything is in order, those minutes. Trustee Stoos, I'll need someone to second that motion. Trustee Zakreski-Rebecki, I'll ask for the negative vote. That motion is carried. No delegations or special presentations at this time or post-meeting assignments. Our consent items are as well or don't occur. So we'll proceed right to 6.0, the discussion, with 6.1, promoting stewardship monitoring report. And we'll ask Chief Financial Officer Joel Lloyd, Superintendents Basilak, Rivard, Managers Catherine Holmes, Laurier Langua, and Ryan Martin to lead us in this discussion.
Thank you, Chair Boyko, and good morning. Along with the Council, as Chair Boyko mentioned, we have Catherine Holmes joining us today, Manager of Financial Services, Laurier Langua, Manager of Corporate Services, and Ryan Martin, Manager of Facilities and Capital Projects. The stewardship report is presented to the board annually and aligns with the board goal of promoting stewardship. We are entrusted with resources of the school division and seek to use those resources in the most productive way possible. This report covers several different areas, the first being human resources. I'll now turn it over to Superintendent Basilak to start things off.
Thank you, CFO Lloyd. As you can see in the board report before you, the first section is human resources services, and there are three areas that we wanted to just touch base on, update you on some of the work that we're doing. And the first area is around workplace health and safety, with a goal of healthy and safe workplaces where a culture of safety and wellness is embraced. I would invite Manager Catherine Kowal to just walk us through some high-level pieces around this element.
Good morning, everyone. So really creating a workplace culture of safety and wellness continues to be of central importance to the work within the human resources function. And we want all of our employees to be safe and well at work so they can provide their best service to our students and communities, but also so they can be safe and well at home. So things like targeted safety purchases, timely investigations of workplace injuries, and some pretty creative accommodation processes have all contributed to creating what I think we can all identify now to be an effective safety culture, which in turn yields a more favorable position with workers' compensation. So, and this positive shift in our discount or rebate position that we've been able to enjoy really has become our new normal. This is our seventh consecutive year that we have been in a discount or rebate position, and our third consecutive year achieving the maximum discount of 30% to our WCB premiums. So this year that is actualized at $132,000 in savings in our WCB premiums. So the graphs within the report really just provide a quick snapshot at how our costs with WCB have changed rather dramatically in the last number of years, and certainly will continue to ensure that we work diligently in this regard so we can maintain this new normal for years going forward.
Thank you very much, Catherine. I'll just move on if there's questions after for human resources. Please do ask. The next area is around diversity and inclusion initiatives. And as we've shared with the board in past meetings, as we've developed the diversity and inclusion strategy, the rationale, of course, is to develop a three-year plan to support all of our staff and to increase our numbers within our school division to be representative. Some of the actions are the three-year diversity strategic plan, quarterly employment data reporting to you as a board, as well as collaborating with our community as we develop the plan. And we did include in the report some results for you to look at in our report card, if you will. And although we do well, we can do better, and we will work to do that. And that's what the diversity and inclusion plan is designed for. The third area is around leadership development. All of our employees are very important. Of course, our leadership is also very important as they lead our schools and in different roles within our school division. And so you can see, as we've done in the past, we've had Newman Theology College Program, our Indigenous Leadership Cohort, and our administrative mentorship program that help to seek out future leadership and to help train them. And then once they're in positions, to actually have a mentorship program to support them as they're working through and learning. So those would be three areas within human resources. And were there any questions? We do more than three areas, but are there any questions about this three we chose to highlight?
Okay, thank you, Daryl and Catherine. At this point, trustees, any questions that you would like to give Daryl or Catherine? Seeing none.
Great. Thank you. Moving on, on behalf of Superintendent Francois Rivard and myself, the technology services, just wanted to highlight two areas. You know that there's a lot going on, but as far as stewardship, I think that we've worked very hard with our Saskatoon Catholic Cyber School to develop courses and develop teachers and work with parents and community around answering to the pandemic with our elementary school development. And so there was a robust report given to the trustees at one point in our meetings, and of course within our pandemic updates, we've kept you updated with it. So again, just highlighting that that's technology services that's really been a pull on us this year was developing this, but we've done well with it. Our teams worked very well in the background with IT, but also our ET team and our teachers and our students have been wonderful. We also know that disaster management is something that's always front and center, as our auditor has pointed out in the past. You know, we wholeheartedly agree, developing a robust business continuity plan that we had brought to the board and have brought several times as we've tweaked it, and we will continue to do so. We are also very attentive to cybersecurity, as many, many people are in our world, not just Saskatoon right now, with a lot of the spam that we have and ransomware and such. So we'll be working with IBM to do an audit around our cybersecurity, just look for weaknesses and how we can strengthen that. So there is always work to be done around that, but we are attentive to it as good stewards of our resources.
Thanks, Daryl. We'll move now to procurement, unless there's any questions for Daryl. Hey, Laurie.
Good afternoon, everyone. Just a summary of some updates from the procurement side. Certainly, the past year has been interesting with COVID and the challenges we faced with securing new contracts going forward. Just to highlight a few things, our procurement purchase card program, it actually ran fairly strong throughout the year. It's a provincial-wide program that we are involved in, and considering COVID in place, you know, we're able to get a $51,000 rebate for this past year, and considering everything that really went to a slowed right down, you know, we're surprised to see that amount, and It's positive for the division, the expenditures we've been doing. On the contract side, we have some long-term ongoing contracts, but over the past year, year and a half, we've really been securing some new long-term contracts. And just a few to point out of true benefit to the division. You know, student furniture, we're going to move into a new contract, which will help us. It's actually secured 2 years worth of pricing, fixed pricing, which is important in today's raw material shortages across the globe. The 2 year secured pricing is really going to benefit the division going forward as we purchase things. We're participating in the provincial wide office and classroom supply deal. Three of the other school divisions put out a request or proposal on behalf of the school divisions in the province, and it's going to benefit our division. They have fixed pricing on paper for the next 5 years, so that's going to be a true benefit to the division as well, as it's one of our larger commodity items that we do use. As you approved in a prior board meeting, Driver Ed looking to expand out with another company added to the mix, so that should help with any bottlenecks that occur in the current environment of Driver Ed. Our multi-year deal with Konica Minolta as well, staying with consistent vendor. They've been good to us for probably the last 10 years. It's going to be a beneficial contract for us going forward. So all in all, not to go into every single contract, benefits to us this year is really to secure pricing, because I think we're going to really have a challenge going forward here in the next year, year and a half, with respect to supply chain and the ability to get goods. So if there's any questions, I'll certainly take them. If not, thank you very much for your time.
Any questions, trustees, at all at this point? Hudson?
I have a question. I don't know if it's the right time or place, but is there any consideration? There's lots of contracts and some service contracts to, like, Catholic-owned businesses where it's possible. I don't know if that's the time to ask, but I just was always kind of wondering that, given that there's priority for other types of business structures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Hudson. Certainly, it's an area that can be looked at. We do have some restrictions with respect to the trade agreements on depend on value of contracts and who we can actually ask to bid. Sometimes we have to put it out publicly to everyone. Other times, depending on the dollar threshold, we are able to, invite who we want to certain competitive bid processes. So it's just a matter of knowing who's out there and what they do, and they can certainly contact me at any time. I meet with a lot of vendors who are identifying themselves and what they do. So
I might just add on to that as well, Laurie, that, you know, it kind of depends a little bit on the type of procurement as well. If it's a roof tender, it's just more about cost than anything else. It's a little bit more difficult, but I think it's a good point that we could look at as part of our request for proposal procurements that we do, where a company would provide a number of aspects, not just price, but just who they are, what they bring to the community, and include that as part of that evaluation. And then those organizations that are Catholic would potentially receive a higher score for that element of the procurement. But there's more opportunity with those types of items compared to just a straight tender. So we'll definitely look at that for future procurements around the RFP or request for qualifications.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Laurie. I'm not seeing any more questions.
Okay, thank you.
Now I'll ask if Kate, you go to review financial services, please.
Thank you, Superintendent Lloyd, and thanks everyone for having me today. Just as an overall, I would like to say our financial services department is always working towards using our staffing resources more efficiently and And that kind of comes in the way of finding more time-saving initiatives, not for only us, but initiatives that will save time for schools, families, and parents as well. The COVID-19 pandemic, as Laurier mentioned, has brought lots of challenges, but also opportunities for us. The technology department has been a big help to us, especially when we transitioned to working from home. They were able to provide us with some additional IT equipment and software to support our work. And I felt like we didn't really skip a beat. You know, everybody basically moved home and we still met all of our payroll deadlines and all of our vendors were getting paid. So that was very much appreciated from their side. From a document management perspective, the closure of the schools forced us to look electronically to be able to receive any of the paperwork that we still needed to get while staff were working at home. Fortunately, we had kind of started transitioning that way already using an online file sharing platform called SharePoint. And the schools were already kind of fairly comfortable with that. So we had given that to them as an option, and we ended up just obviously having to make that a mandatory way to submit. We did that using existing technology that the schools already have with the scanners in the form of the Konica Minolta machines. We use software that they already use on a daily basis, so there wasn't really a steep learning curve on getting them to use those software pieces, and there wasn't a additional cash expense that had to be outlaid either. The student payments presented another challenge for us. You know, we've never really looked at cash as being an infection risk before. So we did kind of have to rethink that, and we started planning for this over the summer. My School Bucks is a program that we have taken on, and it's basically like an online store that parents and students can go on and purchase items that are specific to their school. We used that this year mainly in the high school setting just because there weren't really the elementary field trips and activities going on. So we did use it for class fees, SRC fees, those types of things that were still being incurred in the high school. And we've also had some schools use it for fundraisers, for staff parking. So we're hoping that once everything gets rolled out next year, we'll be able to leverage the system also to collect field trip consent forms. So it'll be a lot easier for the schools to kind of manage and collect those field trip consents as well. Square Terminal is a small wireless device that we've started using in our cafeterias to process electronic payments, just to kind of cut out the cash that's in those, in that environment. And so far that's been going really well for the limited amount that the cafeterias have been open. And for next year, we're looking to also sell a reloadable meal card. So again, that'll get the cash out of the schools. From an internal control perspective, it's also desirable to have the cash out of schools. Other electronic things that we continue to do is to keep paying our vendors by electronic transfer, lower environmental impact, lower physical cost of actually printing and mailing and buying the checks. We have had to put some extra processes in place to make sure that we're not a victim of fraud. We have had, you know, there's been situations where people have tried to send in falsified electronic payment information. And so we've been calling vendors back to just verify that they did indeed submit a change to their current banking information. And lastly, we've continued to send out our T4s electronically. The CRA has actually mandated that we can send them without employee consent. So we have been doing that for all employees unless, you know, they haven't left us a second email address after they've left the division. So we do still mail out paper T4s in that situation. And to sum up, We had our financial statement audit again this year in the fall, completing the year up to August 31st, 2020. And the audit did not reveal any internal control deficits or any legislative compliance, issues as well, where we weren't following the government legislation. So any questions from anyone?
Thank you, Catherine. Trustees, any questions on this subfolder? Sharon? Oh, all right. Thank you, Catherine.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Kate. I'll now turn it over to Ryan to review facility services.
Good afternoon. Thanks, CFO Lloyd. Once again, thanks for the opportunity to present as part of the stewardship monitoring report this afternoon. Facility Services has worked on many great initiatives this past year to support student-centered facilities, as well as meeting the growth of our division. We're excited to share the good work undertaken by our facilities team during the 2020-21 school year. This afternoon, we'll focus on four main topics which demonstrate the commitment of senior administration and our board to sustainability. The first being our change air unit replacement project. In 1920, we completed the first year of a five-year contract with Charter Mechanical to replace aging change air units in our relocatable classrooms. These units are located within many of our relocatable classrooms and provide ventilation, heating, and cooling. They're a highly efficient unit and required limited real estate to provide thermal comfort for students and staff. Following completion of year one, we were informed that our change air units that we had been using for over 20 years had reached end of line with no timeline for a suitable replacement from the vendor. At this time, we worked closely with our partners at Charter Mechanical, as well as Key West Engineering, to find a suitable alternative. Finding a compatible replacement was important for many reasons. We needed to find a unit of comparable size, and most importantly, the height to fit within the structure of our relocatable classrooms. Also, plumbing is largely non-existent in relocatable classroom wings. Finding a mid-efficient unit was important, as high-efficient units would require a condensate line connected back to the main school plumbing. We also wanted to avoid moving away from the self-contained change air unit style. Options such as a traditional furnace would occupy much more area, and the condensate line would still be problematic. Building furnace rooms or plumbing condensate lines would also add significant costs not originally budgeted for as part of the project. Fortunately, we were able to work collaboratively with our partners to source a Western Canadian solution through Engineered Air in Calgary. Engineered Air agreed to custom build a unit comparable to our change air units we had been using for many years. In addition, the custom units will come at no additional cost to our board. And in fact, we're able to negotiate extended warranties within the current cost structure of our original five-year agreement with Charter Mechanical. Again, this was all possible as a result of our relationships with our partners at Charter Mechanical, Key West Engineering, and Engineered Air in Calgary. We were also successful in planning for the future and meeting the needs of our growing school division. In 2019-20, we successfully completed 11 relocatable classrooms in preparation for this school year. In the midst of a pandemic, our construction partners were able to maintain schedules and have our much-needed classrooms ready for the 2020-21 school year. We opened five classrooms at our P3 schools and six classrooms at our traditional schools. Our model of providing flexibility to potential contractors to either build on or off-site continues to pay dividends. Projects were completed within the ministry funding allocation that is provided on a per-classroom basis. Feedback from our teaching staff continues to support the design and configuration of our relocatable classroom design that has been developed and evolved with our partners at EEMA over the last 20 years. natural lighting, ceiling height, LED lighting controls, and the compact size of the HVAC unit does not require mechanical room are all preferred features over stock classrooms that may have less flexibility. We continue to hear that our more square configuration is favored over a rectangular shape. In 2018, the mandate of our board's commercially bottled water policy was fulfilled when at least one water bottle filling station was installed in each of our facilities. As part of our pandemic planning and not using the spout portion of our bottle filling stations this year, it became clear that we had an opportunity to do more. In support of our pandemic planning, as well as our board's policy on bottled water, an additional 52 water fountains were completed prior to the start of this present school year. And I'd like to recognize our division plumber, Paul Krieger, for installing over 80% of these fountains on his own while still maintaining his day-to-day responsibilities at all of our facilities. LED lighting and electrical utility savings has been a focus now for several years. And in 2016-17, our board supported our first LED initiative, which involved the retrofitting of our gymnasiums to LED. This one change resulted in the equivalent of $70,000 in reduced electrical consumption. Since this time, GSCS electrical staff have continued to retrofit facilities in between renovation projects and day-to-day maintenance. In 2019-20, the province initiated the Sector Savings Advisory Group to explore savings opportunities across the province. Laurier Manager Laurier Langlois represented GSCS on this committee and advocated for LED to be considered as a top opportunity. Thankfully, this advocacy was successful. A provincial process provided school divisions with the opportunity to work with pre-qualified vendors to explore retrofitting options. We are currently in the process of negotiating with some of these vendors to determine if this would be a good fit for our division, and it does appear that this is going to be an opportunity worth pursuing. Pending budget availability and approval, it would be the goal of facility services to be 100% converted to LED by August of 2022. This would be expected to reduce our electrical consumption by the equivalent of $500,000 per year. Our efforts in converting our facilities to LED, as well as many other initiatives, are demonstrating our board's commitment to sustainability and stewardship of the resources entrusted to us. From 2016-17 to 2019-20, we have been able to reduce our electrical consumption by the equivalent of $385,000. Approximately $200,000 of the savings is a result of LED projects either completed or in progress, while the balance of $185,000 is attributed to roof replacements that increase insulation where it's needed most, HVAC upgrades such as our change air units or engineered air unit replacements, and also exterior window replacements. Assuming we can continue with HVAC upgrades and roof replacements at our current rate, and also assuming that we can meet our LED target by August of 2022, it is expected that our electrical consumption would be reduced by the equivalent of $685,000 during the 2022-23 school year when compared to 2016-17. I should qualify this a little bit. Obviously, since 2016-17, there have been inflationary increases in our power rates, as well as the introduction of carbon tax on all of our utilities. So the lion's share of these savings are going to stave off the inflationary increase with our electrical rates. Having said that, if we were to do nothing over the last several years, we would be paying $385,000 per year on our electrical budget line. In closing, there's been a lot of great work done by our facility services staff over the past year, and I would like to recognize each and every one of our team members for that. We're thankful to our board and administration for supporting our initiatives and look forward to continued opportunity and successful outcomes. And I think it's important to note or recognize that these successful outcomes are the result of many people's efforts. And in particular, I'd like to recognize managers Kate Holmes, Laurier Langlois, and their respective teams for their support. Our facilities projects are more than work being done at facility sites. There's a great deal of behind the scenes work specific to planning, procurements, and budgeting that leads to successful project completions. And I'd be remiss to not recognize the balance of our management team and manager Jim Bennett for IT to make sure we're connected and things just work seamlessly, as well as manager Kowal for ensuring that we have the right people and the right seats on the bus. And without the support of this larger team, we wouldn't be able to complete our work near as efficiently. So once again, thank you for the opportunity. And at this time, I can pause for any questions.
Thank you, Ryan. Trustees, any questions of Ryan at this point? It's such a comprehensive report that you've all brought to the board. I don't think we can ever thank you enough for ensuring that we have all the information that we need to be able to ensure that the stewardship of our resources, the stewardship of the people that work for this division are at the utmost in our minds, and so that we are ensuring that as a priority of this board for every year that priority is underlined and restated. And I think that the work that all of you do, whether it's in human resources or finance or facility, and of course all of your team members that you always acknowledge in such a good way, the partnership that you have in working with all of the people that you hold underneath your departments is second to none. And I always think that these reports, when they come to promoting this stewardship, I think that it should be always being sent out to places like Chambers of Commerce, Saskatchewan and Provincial, the City of Saskatoon. Part of our job, I think, as trustees is to ensure that our community knows who we are. And we are not just teaching children. It's all the support that goes with that to ensure that they have just an excellent education. So again, thank you for all of the work that you've all done. So trustees, the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the Promoting Stewardship Monitoring Report. I'll need someone to move that. Thank you, Trustee Elliott. I'll need someone to second that motion. Trustee Beckler, I'll call for the negative vote. Hearing and seeing none, that motion is carried. Again, thank you to Joel and Daryl and Francois, to Catherine and to Kate and Laurier and Ryan. You do exemplary work, and we're proud to have you work for this division.
Thank you, Diane. And I think it's tough to really see or feel the pride that our staff have as well in the work they do. They've taken lots of lead roles within the division as well as provincially, so a big thank you for them as well.
I think we have this. Is there does everyone's hand reach behind their back to give themselves a pat on the back? Because I think that's very much warranted. All right. Thank you, Joel. So 6.2 now, trustees, the 2021-2025 Preventative Maintenance and Renewal Plan. We'll again ask Chief Financial Officer Lloyd and Manager of Facilities and Capital Projects Ryan Martin to give us a report.
Thanks, Chair Boyko. Each year, we are required to bring a plan to the board for your approval. This year's plan is a modest increase of about $58,000 from the prior year of funding. We always could use more, but we do the best job we can, and Ryan and his team do a great job of trying to ensure those dollars are stretched as much as possible. So I'll turn it over to Ryan, who will review this year's plan and provide a couple updates to the board as well.
Thank you, CFO Lloyd, and once again, thank you for the opportunity to present this afternoon on our preventative maintenance and renewal plan for 21-22 through to 24-25. As CFO Lloyd mentioned, the division received $3.84 million in PMR funding, which is an increase of 1.55% when compared to 2019-20. There's a typo in your board report, which I apologize for. Although we had hoped for a larger increase, this is positive news and demonstrates a commitment from the Ministry of Education in supporting a strategic approach to maintaining building elements or replacing those items that have reached end of life. By way of comparison, we received $1.15 million in PMR funding in 2013-14. 8 years later, we are nearly 3.5 times our 2013-14 PMR levels. For the 21-22 school year, the plan presented is the actual work that we will complete to align with the funding we have received in this spring's provincial budget. For the latter 3 years, these are proposed plans that will be reevaluated once PMR funding is confirmed within each provincial budget year. It is important to note that the plans for 2022-23 and beyond are more reflective of what our actual needs are. We have made great strides in the last 8 years in terms of the funding we receive, but it is clear we still have a gap to close. Roof replacements remain one of the top priorities for our division within our PMR planning. In terms of the building envelope, the roof is the most critical element. With an annual spend on roofing in excess of $3 million, we are making great progress towards addressing the many roof sections requiring our attention. In addition to roof replacements of roof sections on core areas of our facilities, we are also replacing 10 to 15 relocatable classroom roofs annually. And our efforts are paying dividends. This spring, we saw a further reduction in the need for reactive roofing maintenance, as well as that burden on resources managing that water infiltration. In addition to the significant investment our board is making in our roofing systems, you will note that HVAC improvements are also being prioritized. As discussed as part of the stewardship monitoring report, LED lighting retrofits remain a targeted priority that will continue to be pursued. Previous discussions with the board was surrounding the change in how the Ministry of Education is evaluating major capital projects specific to additions and renovations. These types of projects are now more likely to be considered as part of our PMR planning as school divisions. In light of this change, our advocacy has adjusted, and you will note facility modernizations are now included for years 2022-23 through 2024-25. The intent of these modernizations would be to upgrade facilities in need. Similar in nature to past projects, such as Ecole St. Matthew, Georges Vanier, or E.D. Thien. To support the written report today, we do have a PowerPoint to share with the board, highlighting completed projects or projects that were completed in 2020-2021. But perhaps we could pause now for any questions now prior to the PowerPoint. We could also pause for questions following the PowerPoint. So, Chair Boyko, I'm not sure what the preference would be.
I'm not seeing any hands up or any indications, so I think you can probably just carry on, and if there'll be questions, we'll have them at the end.
Perfect. Thank you. And if somebody could just confirm that that's coming through okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it looks good.
So to add some context and interest to the PMR plans brought to our board annually, we thought that a quick slideshow would help to tell the story of the work completed on an ongoing basis in our facilities. This work largely happens out of sight, and the intent is that these photos will provide our board with a deeper understanding of the work being undertaken to improve our learning environments and preserve our division's assets. These photos will provide you with a few highlights of work that was completed during the 2020-21 PMR funding year. So we've talked a lot about change air replacements and what change air units are, so I think a photo would be fitting. So this piece of equipment right here is a change air unit that's located in many of our relocatable classrooms. Current year, we have concluded year one of a five-year plan to replace aging change air units found in our relocatable classrooms. 10 units were completed at Father Robinson this past summer. They are highly efficient and compact at just over 4 feet wide and 27 inches deep. Feedback from our staff is overwhelmingly positive because of the limited real estate that they occupy, and every square foot in the classroom matters. St. Augustine, Saskatchewan was a significant roofing project due to the area replaced, as well as the number of mechanical units that had to be navigated on the roof, and that in addition to the roofing scope, there was a lot of vertical cedar shakes that needed to be addressed as well as part of this project. So the total area that was replaced at St. Augustine in Saskatoon was equivalent of 36 classrooms. This photo provides you with an idea of the cedar shakes on the gym, and just the perspective of the volume of work that was related to the main roofing project. So at the time that St. Augustine was built, it was in vogue to install these type of mechanical screens. Good intentions, but future maintenance and thermal bridging were not considerations as part of these installations. They can be problematic due to leaking, due to the fact that they penetrate the roofing system to attach to the structure of the facility. In addition, heat and cold transfer through structure, referred to as thermal bridging, which may create condensation issues. Good building envelope design would dictate that envelope penetrations would be minimized for these very reasons. So this type of system is referred to a built-up roof system, meaning it was constructed of multiple layers of felt and oil using liquefied asphalt. Here, think tar kettle on a construction site. Kettles have been largely eliminated from construction sites due to the fire risk as well as odor complaints, two situations that we're very cognizant of. Hot asphalt systems are not used on our sites for these very reasons. This type of roof system does perform well, but has a lifespan and it does not insulate well. In time, it will begin to crack and may leak. In our climate with freeze-thaw conditions, the system deteriorates very quickly once it reaches end of life. You add a little bit of ponding water and you're all but assured of maintenance issues, which you can catch some indication here of the ponding on this particular roof. So this would be a photo, an after photo, showing that the metal cladding. Again, trying to be respectful of the original architectural intent, but also trying to ensure that we're spending our precious maintenance dollars as effectively as possible, and we're going to get the best lifespan with the most attractive look out of that investment. Give you another perspective of the new metal cladding. And this would be the finished product. This is an after photo. So this is referred to as an SBS roofing system, or styrene, butadiene, styrene. These products are added to the asphalt base, which is located on the underside of this gray cap sheet. Again, these additives make the cap sheet more pliable, elastic, so that it can expand and contract through the 100-degree temperature swings that we see in our climate. It's a two-ply system, and there is a base sheet below this gray cap sheet. Has a much higher R value than the built-up roof that was replaced at St. Augustine, and it also has a sloped insulation component to ensure that water is directed to either internal roof drains or to roof scuppers to ensure that we're evacuating water off the roof as quickly and efficiently as possible. At St. Gerard, we replaced the equivalent of 16 classrooms, which again was another built-up roofing system. Again, you can see some of the staining here, which would be indicative of ponding water. There looks like there's maybe a couple of repairs here as well. So again, indicators that this roof is in need of our attention and time for replacement. And also you can see here over time, roofs can deflect in this particular area, which then makes your roof scupper locations at high spots and highly difficult to evacuate water off of our roofs. And again, this would be an example of the finished product, a nice field of SBS. It's very clean and easily able to identify any particular maintenance issues that require our attention in the future. Again, just another perspective showing the vastness or amount of area that was replaced, and another as well. St. Mark was another fairly significant project in the fact that there was equivalent of 28 classrooms in terms of area that were replaced. It's a different type of roof system and referred to as an inverted roofing system, still a ballasted system, but the primary difference is that your drainage plane is below the ballast and insulation. So in the event that you have a leak on this roof, you're removing insulation, which you can see there's evidence of here, to try and find where the water is coming in. The problem is that where you might find a leak on the inside of a facility, it could be 20 to 30 feet away on the actual roof. And again, we replaced with an SBS system with a sloped insulation package to ensure that we are properly evacuating water off of our roofs. And a lot of time and attention is spent to ensuring that we get those sloped insulation packages right and the contractors are installing them correctly. St. Michael was a smaller in terms of scope, again, equivalent of two classrooms. But you'll quickly see here that it was very much in need based on the amount of water ponding on the roof. Again, number one rule, get water off the roof. So we weren't able to maintain that with this particular system. So again, water can present itself standing on roofs, maybe due to incorrect design assumptions at time of construction, incorrect installation, or more likely minor structural deflection over time. At any rate, this is taken into account, and Blair McDougall at EEMA designs all of the slope systems for our roof replacements. And Blair is one of the most highly respected envelope consultants, technically speaking, in our province. Again, just another example showing the issues that we needed to address. And then the after photo, where there is no water and water drains effectively off the roof system. St. Philip, again, fairly significant, 10 classrooms in area. It was a built-up roof system. Once again, you can see that there's a significant amount of water ponding on this roof in many locations. And the after photo. So I hope that this was informative and give you a little bit of insight into some of the work that's being undertaken day to day that, you know, is largely out of sight for maybe some high visibility vests up on our roofs. So at this time, we can pause. If there are any questions, we can take them at this time.
Thank you, Ryan and Joel. Trustees, any questions or comments you'd like to make? It was such a fulsome report, and I think all of us really appreciate, I'm not sure how many of us previously had been on a roof of one of our schools, but I think we appreciate being able to visualize and see exactly the work that's being done. So, Ryan, we thank you for guiding us and leading us through this presentation. It was just excellent, and we look forward to, as you say, an increase in our preventative maintenance dollars. The $58,000 is appreciated, of course, but we have many projects, and we look after our buildings very well within this division. And I think the ministry recognizes that as well, and we appreciate the relationship that you have with them. So, trustees, seeing no questions, so the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented and approve the four-year 2021-2025 preventative maintenance and renewal plan. I'll need someone to move that motion. Thank you, Tim. I'll need someone to second that motion. Dana, thank you to you both. I will ask if there is a negative vote. Seeing none, that motion is carried. Again, thank you for the good work. I would like to pass this on to all of our partners within the community, and they can see how well we do look after our buildings, and the pride and the in your responsibility, Ryan and Joel, is second to none. So thank you again for your good work.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Have a good afternoon. All right, Joel, 6.3, the roof replacement cost contracts. You seem to be the only one working today.
No, just the only one boring you today, maybe. Thank you again for the opportunity. This is really a direct connection to the report that you just heard. It's not the most flashy thing in the world with replacing roofs, but it is essential to maintain the envelope, like Manager Martin mentioned. So in the package today is a report regarding RFT, request for tender, that was issued April 6th for three main roofing projects, Bishop James Mahoney, Pope John Paul II, and St. Augustine School in Humboldt. The three motions are to award the individual projects to the lowest bid. For BJM, it is Century Roofing and Sheet Metal at a tender price of $416,000. Pope John Paul is Dunmack Construction at a price of $1.46 million. And St. Augustine Humboldt is Hayde Roofing at a price of $398,000. Concludes our overview. If there's any questions, Chair Boyko.
Thank you, CFO Lloyd. Trustee Carrier.
Thank you, Joel. I'm just wondering, on these roof replacement jobs, what's the warranty that we get with these contractors?
I'll ask Ryan if you want to respond.
Sure. Trustee Carrier, we started now, I'm going to say this will be our third year We used to have a 15-year warranty on our roofs. For a marginal investment to the division, we now have that upgraded to a 20-year warranty on the SBS roofing system. It's referred to as Supremo's Platinum Warranty, and that's what standard on all of the roofs that we replace now.
So what would constitute a call on warranty work? If it, any leakage up to the 20-year mark would be covered?
That is correct. The first 2 years is labor and materials, and that goes back to the original roofing contractor that replaced the roof. After that, it's a connection with our local Suprema rep, and then they do their investigation. They may undertake the repair internally. They have journeyperson roofers here in Saskatoon to do that work. Depending on the nature of the work or scale, they could bring in a contractor as required. And it's been our experience that Suprema is highly responsive to any inquiries that we've made. And again, a valued partner in our roof replacements.
Okay. Thanks, Joel and Ryan. Thank you.
Welcome.
Any other questions, trustees? Seeing none, the first recommendation that the Board of Education award the tender for the BJM High School roof replacement to Century Roofing and Sheet Metal Limited for the tendered price of $416,875 plus applicable taxes. I'll need someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Seuss. Trustee Carrier is seconding that motion. I'll ask for the negative vote. Hearing none, that motion is carried. The second recommendation that the Board of Education award the tender for the Pope John Paul II roof replacement to Dunmac General Contractors Limited for a tender price of $1,463,000 plus applicable taxes. I'll need someone to move that. Thank you, Trustee Elliott, and Trustee Beckler is seconding that motion. I will call for the negative vote. Seeing none, that motion is carried. The third recommendation that the Board of Education award the tender for St. Augustine School in Humboldt roof replacement to Hade Roofing Limited for the tendered price of $398,952 plus applicable taxes. I will need someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Burscheid. Second to second that motion. Trustee Zakreski-Rebecki, I'll ask for the negative motion. Seeing none, those motions are carried. Thank you, everyone, and thank you again, Joel and Ryan. All right, Joel, now you can tell us about the 6.5 financial statements. CFO Lloyd.
Is there a question that popped up? Or?
Oh, I apologize.
Okay.
Actually, 6.4 is Father Robinson School building envelope for prayers.
All right.
And that's what CFO Lloyd, anyway.
Thanks, Chair Weichel. This item, I think, has come to the board a number of times just regarding some of the challenges we're having at Father Robinson School with the roof system and the exterior masonry and really not meeting life expectations of the product. And we've done some research and looking at what alterations are required to ensure longevity and with that materials that we do add on will make the life expectancy. The board also has asked us in the past to look at options to fund it through legal and insurance, and that is ongoing. We have had numerous conversations with our insurers and legal, and they are going to be doing their own engineering review simultaneously as we're doing this work to see if there's an opportunity to access one of those means. It's not really the standard of doing this type of work this early. The school isn't that old. And it is concerning to us. So we do have those individuals involved as we work through this project to be able to identify exactly where the water was coming in and what the design elements issues are. So we're excited to move forward and get this work done. It's going to be over, you know, over a year of construction, but we're excited to move forward and start that work this summer. We did receive four responses to the tender that was issued on April 15th. Unfortunately, two of them were deemed not compliant because they had qualified bids or incorrect submissions. But we did have two that met the criteria, and the ranges of pricing were between 3.7 to 4 million. So the recommendation from administration is Dunmac, who you've heard already once, get a roof system award, would be the contractor that would do this work. I'm not sure, Ryan, if you had anything to add to the overview.
No, I don't think so. I think that covers it, Joel. I think, again, with Dunmac, we've done some referencing as well, just on past projects. We haven't worked with them for a number of years. So we've talked to some clients as well as consultants just to get some background information, and things are looking good. And I guess to add to the story, we've learned that the site superintendent from Dunmac that will be assigned to this project was the same site superintendent that actually worked on St. Joe's for Dunmac Construction. So again, so we're looking forward to working with Dunmac and next steps in terms of bringing the school and CSCC along in the conversation as to what to expect at Father Robinson over the next year and a half.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. Trustees, any questions of Joel or Ryan at this point? Trustee Carrier?
Yes, thank you, gentlemen, for that report. But I've got a number of questions. I recall the discussion earlier about when you brought it to the board originally about the failure of the envelope at this school. So how old is this school again?
It opened in 1994.
Okay. So when you showed us the pictures, I guess at that time, no initial reconstruction was taking place. Is that kind of, those pictures, Ryan, you provided were just the onset of what you had to deal with? Is that true?
That is correct, yes. We didn't do any reconstruction. We just did a little bit of invasive investigation where we removed some masonry in select locations to give us a better understanding of what we were dealing with, what the issue was, and how we could correct it.
Okay. So I'm hopeful, and please correct me if this is not the case, that you've had various discussions with various insurance companies or just one to discuss potential cost sharing. That's one question, but their concurrence or who's concurring with us to proceed with the work? Like, I guess you made a comment that they'll analyze it as we go forward. So I'm a little vague on how many, are we dealing with one insurance company? What skin in the game are they putting on the table? They could walk from it. Just give me some more verbiage around that, gentlemen.
I can respond to that, Trustee Carrier. So we have approached our insurers, and that has been through SSBA. So Jeff McNaughton would be the lead person that we contacted. We asked him, this will be the third time. He denied the first two times that he didn't feel. So Jeff McNaughton is a representative from SSBA that supports and manages the insurance program that all school divisions belong to.
Okay, so just, Joel, just slow down. So you're saying who denied it? The SSBA denied it or the insurance companies?
The SSBA would always take a first look at it because as a self-funded pool to a certain threshold, the SSBA and really all school divisions would be exposed to that initial amount. And then once you reach the maximum amount the SSBA pays, then it goes to the insurer. So the SSBA was always kind of the first stop, and they would look at claims and determine if it's an insurance claim or not. If they deem it to be a non-insurance claim, then they don't allow us to pursue it any further because they are kind of the gatekeepers of when we are able to access that insurance or not. So initially we brought forward this to SSBA, well, twice actually. Both times they said it wasn't an insurance-related matter because it's just wear and tear of a building and it's not considered like a single event cause of damage. So we accepted that twice, and then the third time we went back at them again. And that was after we were able to get additional information around why the failures are occurring, be able to show the site investigations, and also have a consulting report that would speak to some of the design issues of the original design and some of the potential causes of the damage to show that it is, you know, likely related to either constructability or design of the facility. So we're doing this because it allows us to access insurance, and insurance has already got consultants on board that will go and review the building as it sits right now, and also will work with us as we're making the repairs to determine exactly what the cause is. And if they determine it to be an insurance, just a failure of materials, and when that happens, even roofing, sometimes it fails earlier than we'd hope it would just because of installation or the actual product, then potentially we could access insurance. But if we're not able to access insurance, then our other recourse would be potential litigation. So we're able to try to address both of those things simultaneously by going down this pathway.
Okay, thank you for that. So you're suggesting that anything that relates to the insurance part of this project has to be okayed or fronted by SSBA. We don't have any access to the insurance companies on a one-to-one basis. That's what you're saying?
Pretty much. Like what we do deal with is like the appraisers directly from time to time. So they'll come and appraise damage, and we deal with those. We can contact the insurance broker directly as well, but ultimately the insurance broker is their client is the SSBA. And we fall under that by the SSBA agreement that we signed with the SSBA. But ultimately the SSBA would be the main client. And, you know, 99% of the time they're supportive of the direction we're going. Like they don't ever get in the way. This would be the only one that might be a challenge. But for the most part, they're actually non-existent, and we take the lead and work through it. But they do have to give the initial okay.
So obviously the third time going back, and we've been persistent in pursuing this, what do you personally feel are our chances with the SSBA? Yourself, Joel, and Ryan,
Well, I think it's a positive step that the SSBA has green-lighted it to go to insurance, and that insurance has already sent us accessibility agreements so that their own consultants can go on site to take a look. That opportunity wasn't afforded in the past, so that's a positive step in the right direction. And then the next step would be then for their independent consultants to do their report and compare their findings to what our own consultants are saying, and then debate at that point and to try to find some resolve then. So we are moving forward in the right direction now, and we don't believe that this work will jeopardize that. If anything, it will just show the exact cause of the premature failure.
I guess to add to your comments, CFO Lloyd, we have been working with our adjuster and Kyler Broad from Claims Pro, who would be our local connection. And they were working and engaging a building envelope engineer from Calgary per the direction from the insurer. And for whatever reason, there's been a delay or a challenge in getting this consultant out from Calgary to do the investigation and provide a report. So they're currently looking for another firm to undertake this work. And that was the latest update we had from a week and a half ago. But our local adjuster is well aware of where we're at in the process and the fact that we're ready to move ahead with the project imminently.
Yeah, no, that's great, guys. Just in closing, it's going to be kind of a challenge that you're going to have to ensure that as you tear this facility down to correct its deficiencies, that you have the right people there to witness what you're doing for insurance policies. I mean, that's going to be a little bit of a challenge, is it not?
I would say it is, but again, I'm just thinking back to other challenging projects that we've had, and I think we have one of the most detail-oriented technologists in the province in Blair McDougall from EEMA, and he does an excellent job of photo documentation as well as written reports. So I think we'll have that covered in Blair's work, but at the same time, it will be important to reach out to our local adjuster to ensure they're apprised of what's happening and when, and if our work advances in advance of that consultant's visit, to ensure that all parties are witnessing what's taking place and when. So I think we'll be in a good position there, again, with our partners in EEMA.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trustee Carrier. Trustee Zakreski-Rebecki. In regard to the independent insurer, who incurs this cost? SSBA, us, or is it a shared cost?
The actual appraisal, that work could be borne by the SSBA and the insurance. We wouldn't pay any cost for that independent analysis.
Well, I guess technically we kind of are with our membership to the SSBA, so that's good that our membership is working for us. All right, trustees, I'm not seeing any other questions. The recommendation that the Board of Education award the tender for Father Robinson School building envelope repairs to Dunmac General Contractors Limited for the tendered price of $3,743,920 plus applicable taxes. I'll require someone to move that motion. Trustee Stoos, and I have Trustee Case is seconding that motion. I'll ask for the negative vote. Seeing none, that motion is carried. Thank you, gentlemen, for the good work that you're doing in this file as well. Well, CFO Lloyd, now you'll tell us about our financial statements.
Nothing too exciting to report on this one. We're still projecting to be kind of exactly where we were the last time I presented. We're still looking in good territory. As we look at our grants and our taxation, it's going to be within budget, and also recognizing we got additional funds for pandemic support, and we're incurring those costs. So overall, really, I won't go into each item in the variance analysis on page 48, but really, we're projecting still to be a surplus, and that surplus is made up of pandemic dollars we got this year that's meant to be for next year, and we'll make sure that that in our financial statements we'll bring forward a restriction to the board for your consideration and approval that would be used next year. We also have some additional funds as well that we are hoping we'll be able to achieve this year, and based on forecasts we should be able to, that will restrict those savings that we're seeing and also use those next year to support the interim sector plan, as well as the COVID expenditures that we will incur next fall. So overall, we're in good shape, and really the direct trajectory is quite positive.
Okay, thank you, CFO Lloyd. Trustees, any questions that you would like to make on Joel's report? Seeing none, the recommendation that the Board of Education approve the accounts paid for the period March 1st, 2021 to March 31st, 2021 and April 1st, 2021 to April 30th, 2021 and receive the financial statements for the period ended April 30th, 2021. I'll need someone to move that recommendation, please.
I think Deb's got it.
Trustee Burscheid, and then Trustee Carrier is seconding that motion. I'll ask for the negative vote. Seeing none, that motion is carried. Thank you, Joel. And you will proceed right to 6.6 with transportation.
All right, thanks again. Again, not a lot to report in transportation report. We keep running all of our buses. He collapsed only two routes just to find some efficiencies, but we are primarily running our entire fleet system, knowing that we want to space out students as much as possible in our bus system. So that's continuing on. We are seeing the utilization of buses drop a little bit. We've sent communication out to families that the public health now and the Saskatchewan Health Authority, the local one, is isolating the entire bus now when there's a COVID case, where in the past they used to do contact tracing and only isolate students in close proximity. Now the entire bus is impacted. So we have sent a letter out to families notifying them, and we believe that some families have chosen not to access bus transportation. So we are seeing utilization go down a little bit due to that, but that's understandable. But other than that, overall, we are continuing to run, and things are going quite smoothly in a COVID environment. Concludes the report. Is there any questions?
Thank you, CFO Lloyd. Any questions at all, trustees? It's always amazing when you tell people that you are transporting 4,251 students in the city and of course, in our other rural divisions in Martinsville and Warman and Bigger and Humboldt. That's a huge amount of students, and it is a large amount of dollars in our budget. We know that we aren't funded fully for our transportation dollars, and so the efficiencies that we have to find and that we have to take from other areas of our budget is always demands a lot of work for our exec council, for sure. So, trustees, the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented and improve the transportation monitoring report. I'll require someone to move that motion. Trustee Zakreski-Rebecki, Trustee Beckler is seconding that motion. I'll ask for the negative vote. That motion is carried. Thank you, Joel.
Thank you.
6.7, our pandemic response update by Director Shatlin and Exec Council.
Thanks very much. Just a number of items to report on with respect to pandemic response in our school division lately here. Just with respect to operations, not a lot of change as far as high school and elementary is concerned. As was just mentioned, probably one of the main changes is related to busing and the movement from SHA now to isolate the whole bus. And so that is, we just began that last week, and so we're working through our first couple of cases now where that's being part of the process, and it's challenging our communication and the timelines and such. So working through the adjustments to our process as a result of that. And as was referenced, seeing perhaps some reduction in access and transportation. It's also nicer weather outside. More kids are biking and walking and that kind of thing as well, which is also good to see. Graduation guidelines are probably the other main element that's under development right now. You'll recall that the initial guidelines were released on the 28th of April, and so we've been planning graduation based on that, with the understanding that depending on case counts and such in our community, that those guidelines could change a little bit. We were given the horizon of roughly May 17th today for perhaps some adjustments coming to those restrictions. So we're waiting to see if anything is coming forward in that regard. We were under the impression that the only things really that would change would be the size of gatherings outside, perhaps, that might be allowed. That the basic structure as was being rolled out at the end of April would probably remain the same. So we'll see how things go. There's more information at the end. We'll return back to this item momentarily. Vaccinations, a number of points to make here. Based on lots of advocacy and being responded to provincially, that the process began on April 30th to allow our staff, regardless of age, to book an appointment to be vaccinated. So great uptake in our staff for that, and lots of support to help people get there, even if it's during the work day. So sounding like we're doing very well in having a high proportion of our staff accessing vaccine at this time. We also have a standby list that folks will contact us if they have additional vaccine, and we have that list and are contacting people should they have not been that vaccinated yet. Special thanks to our partners with Susquehanna Tribal Council have been very accommodating to our staff through this process as they have set up their process at Sustel Center and have been very supportive of our staff, so we thank them for that. Additionally, with respect to vaccinations, we know now just recently that children and youth ages 12 and above are now approved for vaccination. The pace that things are going at provincially, we're moving down the age categories very quickly, and we anticipate they'll be down to the 12 pluses being part of the process here before too long. So, of course, that will continue. There is an interest in providing some opportunity for 12-plus age students to receive a vaccine, perhaps on the property of schools. That's something we don't have any detail on at this point, but there is an interest from SHA standpoint to ensure that as many of our 12-plus age students would have access to the vaccine prior to the end of June as possible would be their interest. And then we'll see when zero to 12 age categories might be approved for vaccination, if that happens over the summer. Process for that, again, remain to be seen as well. So certainly the 12 plus, when they get there, can be part of their family's process, but we'll see if there's a role for schools and school communities in this period of time. Rapid testing, things are more or less in place now to begin that process. There is now a third-party provider in our area that may be able to provide support for us. Just a reminder that any of that testing would be through an opt-in informed consent process, and the items or related work behind that seems to be more or less in place here now. So come forward to perhaps an opportunity of getting that rolling if and when it's deemed appropriate by SHA and ourselves. This would be a combined decision should that move forward. Preparations for the fall, lots on the go on that front. Most of it is speculation at this point, as we just don't know what the conditions will be in the fall. Certainly working through different scenarios at this stage and beginning to prepare ourselves. There are a number of questions that remain at the provincial level related to certain restrictions based on vaccinations or not, and how provincial level directions will work. And so trying to sort through those. I know there's lots of work happening at the RPT level for that, as well as the business response team as well. So lots of uncertainty on that front, but we know we are preparing for some form of additional online education in elementary as well for the fall. We'll continue to work with the families who have chosen that opportunity this year and get a better understanding as the year draws to a close what their interest might be for the fall. We are, I think, very clear in our data now that the variants of concern are the dominant strain now, I think it would be fair to say. We know that they are much more transmissible, and so the need for careful consideration of our restrictions, our PPE, such and that, will be more important now. So we're going to be doubling down on some of our communication and expectation in that regard with our staff, and so we want to make sure that we're getting that message out. While the rates in our community are fairly similar day after day, they are at a relatively high level and are having impacts on communities. So certainly we're still very busy and need to be very vigilant in our work. So those are the comments I wanted to raise today, but certainly open to any questions or comments or thoughts from the trustees.
Thank you, Director Shatlin. Trustee Stoops.
Greg, with the concerns that were brought forward to us in regards to the masking, and with summer days upon us and days like today, with masking outside school ground, playgrounds, especially with the elementary kids, is there any way possible that SHE may relax some of these regulations in regards to, or because of the VOC now we're stuck holding on to what we have to do kind of thing?
Well, we continue to bring the question forward because I think everyone is in a similar position. We have to be able to back off on some of these things. The rates of transmissibility and variants of concern, though, I think are the driving issue right now that we're not certain how things will transpire in the coming weeks. So for now, it continues to be the recommendation. But again, every week we ask the question. And I guess with the bigger interest in mind and trying to keep as many of our schools fully functional as we can, that's the big goal we want to maintain. And the restrictions are difficult for sure. Trying to balance that off with the interest in trying to keep the buildings open as much as we can as well, so which is a very important interest of everyone's as well. So we'll continue to ask the question. It hasn't guidance hasn't changed yet, but we'll see in the coming weeks.
So my understanding is the kids are pretty good when it's out in the playgrounds and stuff, and they're most of the times they're asked to kind of play within their own cohorts, and they're I guess depending on the conditions they're sometimes given the opportunity to take off their masks for breaks and stuff. So that kind of thing is happening, which is good.
Yeah, certainly staff are aware when they're within their cohorts and outside that they're able to take some breaks and still maintain the spirit of what the restrictions are in place for. So doing what they can on that, in that regard, yeah, absolutely. But
it's a tough call. I know I was outside most of the day yesterday, and I just thought if I had to have a mask on today, the day like today, it would be a tough call.
It's busy out there. There's a fair amount of transmission happening, and fortunately, with the degree of vaccination happening, the vaccination doesn't stop the transmission. So it still wants to be concerned about.
when you get these weekend calls to us, does that come directly from SHA or is that okay?
Well, both. It can come from a family who's letting us know. Yeah. It can come from a school who a family's let them know, or it comes directly from SHA. Okay. Yeah. If it, ultimately, though, we go to SHA.
Thank you, Trustee Stoos. Trustees, any other questions at this point? Some incredible work that continues to be done by everyone within the division from whatever category that they work in. This is like the foremost work that they're doing to make sure that our students and our staffs are as safe as possible.
It's one of the more very challenging, and it changes. Each circumstance is different and unique and requires a unique response, and so they're the team that works around that to help that process is remarkable in their ability to do that. And they've learned lots through the last year here too. Unfortunately, they've had lots of opportunity to learn. I don't know if Scott, do you want to speak specifically to the grad piece that was included in the report at this stage? I guess it just is highlighting at least the initial planning context that started moving forward with, as we've worked as well with Saskatoon Public Schools and Prairie Spirit School Division, you know, moving forward with similar guidelines.
Yeah, for sure. Just to kind of let people know that we have communicated out to students and parents and caregivers just last week with a bit of an update. We had indicated earlier that we would be moving to a virtual format earlier, and if you remember, we had discussed that at the board level to ensure that people weren't feeling like they had to buy dresses and suits and those types of things. And so we have coordinated our efforts, and we have ordered the graduation gowns, and students will get those kind of a week before, so they have lots of chance to take family photos and go to their favorite spaces and try to create some beautiful graduation memories. At that time, we also indicated that our hope was that we would have parents be able to access just the taping of that, the walk across the stage. But the restrictions as they've presented themselves right now, as they stand, wouldn't allow for that to happen and for it to happen safely. And because there will also be lots of students still in the school during the time of the taping, and the taping will take place over, in some schools, multiple days, we've deemed that to not be possible under the particular circumstance. So we knew that was going to be important for us to be able to share with parents, even though it's difficult. We also indicated we'd be monitoring the situation based on feedback from the ministry to kind of tell us, you know, if the restrictions are changing. And I believe today is the day we were supposed to hear the, you know, if there was any adjustment to that. But as was indicated by Director Shetland, that it was indicated that it would be more the size of the outdoor gathering that would be changing as opposed to indoor. So to be honest, our feedback from parents, some we've received lots of messages of support. Also a few people who are just feeling like they wish that we could do a little bit more and allow the parents to be part of it in that way. We have, in fact, June 1st and 2nd, we will be taping all of the speeches of all the different schools, doing the singing of O Canada, honor songs, principal's address, comments by the board chair and director and from the bishop. And we will create a beautiful ceremony just like we did last year. It's certainly not what any of us were hoping for. VersaFilms will continue to edit the content after shooting it. But just so that you know kind of a context, we do that professional portion at the Cathedral of the Holy Family, so it also has a familiarity of where this event usually would take place. We then really count on our local staff, and we have some incredibly talented folks who are do amazing photography and videography kind of work, and so they are taping at the school site the actual movement across a stage to receive certificates. And working on how to follow protocols, we have deemed that the student during that walk will make sure the distances are great enough that students could take off the mask for the walk, present to the camera, be able to have a nice clear shot of each student so that they get a really good opportunity to recognize. And then they will continue, take a photo with a photographer, and then replace their mask and carry on. And so that takes quite a while, of course, to then edit that down into a smaller manageable piece. And then that goes back to our videographer, who then puts our pieces together with his piece, because we also tape all of the transition statements for each of the pieces. And then at the end, we also add the local awards and things so that they actually have an entire graduation ceremony, which I would say compared to the majority of the folks in the province that we've spoken to, I think we have one of the more complete pieces that is there. We'll also have, the bishop has, I believe, agreed to do a mass in honor of the students. And that would go out usually a day or two prior. And our thought was just the amount of time that people would be able to be on time. So they'll be able to share that link with family and friends with both the mass and with the, and we're very thankful to the bishop, because we initially had asked him on a Sunday mass to honor the graduates. And even last year, he just said, well, they deserve more than that. And so I'd like to do a mass for them. We're working hard at having more students be the key participants within that, though, to follow the restrictions of the church. And so we're looking forward to that piece as well. And then on June 24th at 11 o'clock a.m. is when the link would be shared with families. And it's something that they can download if they like. And they also could share it with family and friends from far away. And we think that, you know, with grandparents not being able to come and aunties and uncles who usually would have shared in that experience, they still wanted some way that they could access that to take place on that day. Now, you don't have to view it at 11 o'clock at that time. It's available from that time. It would be available for about a 2-week period. And then after that, it would come down off our local channel. So, you know, as was indicated in the report, we will monitor the restrictions closely and adapting as much as possible. We just know with the number of pieces that are in place, including, and I forgot to mention, that we have decided to do the banners again, where I've called you each by name. And so even this morning, Derek Kunz was working with the principals and I to gather all of the names so that we can have that ready to go, so that on the wall of each of our schools, it will celebrate our students with a message of congratulations and name them. And we hope, and those will stay up until the fall. And so, you know, we wanted to do at least as much as we had done last year for our students. They've been really quite resilient and incredible during this time. And I know that it's not an easy time for some families, but the majority seem to be having a good understanding. And I think as they see the variant continuing to spread, I think there's a recognition of it's not the time for us to take a chance and hope that it all works out. I think we've really tried to err on the side of caution, as the school division has done in every aspect of, you know, every part of our planning this year. So hopefully that helps. I'd certainly take any questions you might have.
Thank you, Scott. Trustees, any questions or comments? I know I'll speak for all of us when we say that the amount of work that's done on this file for the pandemic response update, it has touched every aspect of our students and our staff's lives. So thank you for the update on the graduation, Scott. It's front and foremost in a lot of people's minds. So it is good to know that we have a solid response. And as you mentioned, you know, some of these things we can't turn on a dime, where some of the smaller divisions may have, you know, 12, 15 graduates that, if there are different restrictions, that they can manage to do that. But we have lots of pre-planning that needs to get done. Do you have an estimate of how many graduates we'll have this year total?
No, but we would be well over the 1,000 anyway, because we would have 300, 280, 250, you know, and then a couple of the smallers at about 150. So, you know, we still have definitely over 1,000 graduates. And as you indicated, the challenge is that we can't hold on to even things like the caps and gowns and hope that at the end it can change. And in terms of the, you know, the weather and the uncertainty of that, it certainly limits us. And, you know, explaining to some families when they heard 150, I think they believed that it was possible for us to host that. I think because it's hard to think of, you know, the graduate and then two guests plus the staff there. You know, in some of our larger schools, it would take 20 different graduation ceremonies to do one school. And then we have that, and, you know, so we just aren't able to navigate that with all of the schools that we do have to represent.
Yeah, Yeah, thank you, Scott. And you make, as you mentioned, you're making it as special as possible. And for some of the things that are occurring for some students, this may be even more than maybe they would have expected. So thank you again for all your work. And of course, to everyone, Director Shatlin and Exec Council, for ensuring that the stewardship that they is exemplified in how they are dealing with this pandemic response uptake. So trustees, the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the pandemic response update. I will require someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Beckler. Trustee Elliott is seconding that motion. I'll ask for the negative vote. Seeing none, that is carried as well. So thank you again. Well, we have no correspondence at this time or reading file, and I'm not sure if Director Shatlin has been doing anything since our last meeting, but we'll let him tell us about that.
A couple things. Pardon me. Just a few things to highlight today, and I won't go into details in the report. Just a highlight of our administrator mentorship program. We take leadership development very seriously in the system, and I think it's important that we continue to do so. And the mentorship program is one of those aspects that's been very, very helpful in that regard. And thanks to the leadership of Superintendent Martell and the Vice and Assistant Principal Association, they've continued to provide now for many years the opportunity for mentorship. And so we always celebrate that process every year, and we did that on April 20th. And kudos to our crew who was able to manage, despite many of the COVID restrictions, that they were able to continue to provide the mentorship opportunities. And we celebrated that this year again. Immunization planning, again, lots of focus on COVID vaccinations, but understanding that there is still an immunization plan that goes on in our community regularly for students in grade 6 and 8, and that has been on pause. And so we've been looking for ways to support SHA in resuming their process for the regular immunization. So more to come on that. There was a small opportunity available where they did provide some opportunities, but we know it's much bigger concern and need than that, so we'll be working on that for the next while. Métis Education Think Tank, again, an annual opportunity thanks to Comfy and Saskatoon Public and ourselves, who puts this opportunity together as we work through next opportunities and possibilities with respect to supporting Métis education in our community. And again, a great opportunity to get together once again. Just unfortunately not able to get together face-to-face, but still a good opportunity to gather and plan. And World Catholic Education Week just wrapped up last week. Again, a great opportunity to celebrate the unique gift and opportunity that we have in Catholic education. And thanks to our provincial CECUS group, who helped prepare the liturgies and observances for us this year. Each day's theme is there in the report and prayers and such that went with it, to get a very good opportunity to celebrate. Again, thanks to Bishop Hegeman, who presided over the province-wide liturgy on May 13th at 10. Schools from across the province joined in on that, and it was a great opportunity to kind of connect and celebrate Catholic education in our province. And so with that, that would be just a few other items I wanted to raise, and I guess if there are any other questions, I'll certainly have to take those.
Thank you, Director Shetland. Trustees, any questions or comments? I think things like World Catholic Education Week this week, there were so many different new avenues. As you mentioned, you know, the province-wide liturgy that occurred, I think that maybe that will be something that will be carried forward to years on end, that with our sister boards, the 7 Catholic sister boards across the province, that allows us to be one big Catholic community. And I think that's probably a really good way to celebrate right across the province. And as you mentioned, Darcy did a phenomenal job, as well as the religious education coordinators. And I just wanted to comment, too, that just the social media, Derek, if you're on this call still, Derek Kuntz, our consultant, our communications consultant, does a great job ensuring that those of us that are on various social media posts have an opportunity to share in the good news and the good work that is occurring. So thank you for that as well, Derek. Trustees, if there is any board activity or board linkage at this point until we get to some of the specifics. any with Catholic School Community Councils? Has there been people that have been engaging at this point? Thank you. Convention reports, nothing at this point, but we do have our committees. So Joint Operations, Trustee Burscheid and Stoops, do you have anything to tell us about?
Nothing since the last meeting, Diane, but we are meeting again virtually on May the 25th.
Good. Thank you, Deb. Together in Faith and Action, Trustees Jelinski and Biblo.
Nothing to report right now, except that we are meeting tomorrow morning.
Thank you. We're one day early. Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools Foundation, Trustees Zakreski, Rebecca, and Elliot.
Yeah, I'll do the report. We had a meeting on Thursday, May 13th, and at the meeting, the annual meeting will be happening on June 9th. And at this meeting, the annual report will be handed out. And there is a beautiful memoriam of former trustee Alice Risling in this report. So do take a look at it because it's done very, very nicely. The 25th annual Golf Classic Share the Spirit tournament is still happening. They've got 26 teams to date. And if restrictions are lifted, it can go up to 36 teams. So that's positive. The school wins twice. An online lottery is still being planned. And it's set for fall of this year. It's being spearheaded by Lesha Ostertag and Nadine Conley. And they will be meeting with school councils and administrations to explain how the online lottery will be working this year. So they're it's looking to be very positive. Catholic Education Week, a video was completed and it was sent out to all families, and an appeal was made for donations towards Catholic education. And along with there will be pamphlets available this coming week if people would like to donate through the pamphlet that's going to be sent out. And some really nice positive news for everyone is that the foundation will be supporting their early literacy project, and they will be donating over $200,000 towards the early learning. So that's been happening with the foundation. Vanita, is there anything?
No, they just mentioned too about the materials for Catholic Education Week that they would like them maybe a little bit earlier than the schools would like them a little bit earlier than when they got them, so they could do more with it.
Excellent. Lots of good work, lots of good news. $200,000 towards the division's budget when it comes to the overall budget, but specifically for early learning. That's just excellent. So thank you for your good work, Benita and Sharon, on that committee. Comfy and GSCS Education Alliances, we haven't had a meeting at this point. We'll look forward to meeting with them. Saskatchewan Catholic School Boards Association, Trustee Jelinski, anything to report since last time?
Nothing to report at this time, Diane.
Good, thank you. And the Saskatchewan School Boards Association, we continue to have our weekly meetings on Thursday with all of the chairs and directors from across the province with information that comes from the response planning team that meets with Dr. Shahab on the Tuesdays. And so always good reports that come out, supporting some of the information that is already out there, but sometimes being vetting some of the new information before it gets out there with the opinions of the division. So that continues to happen at this point. That is the last agenda item for us now. I will ask Trustee Beckler to lead us in our closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of our time together, we thank you for what has been accomplished here today. May the matters discussed serve as a catalyst to move us forward and cause us to advance and see growth in all areas of our lives. Amen.
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 Thank you, Trustee Beckler. I'll require someone to adjourn the meeting. Trustee Carrier, do I need to ask if all are in favor?
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And happy birthday to Trustee Beckler.
Thank you.